from the legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City, it's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. And like the song says, it's an hour. It's just an hour. I believe in truth in theme songs, and so we actually have that for you tonight. It's an hour. How was everybody's week? You guys, anything exciting happen for, of course, Mandy? It's just always.
I feel like I always take over at this part.
Well, because your life is just, the many colors of your life are just, what happened this week?
So I tried to cook this week. I'm not a good cook. And I tried to steam some dumplings using a strainer on top of a hot pot and then cover it. But I didn't know this technique would not work with a plastic or Tupperware strainer, and I ended up melting the Tupperware strainer all over the pot, and I put it on Facebook because I thought it was funny, and my friend in South Carolina, who's an elementary school science teacher, had all of her kids write me letters about how what I did was wrong pertaining to heat transfer. I have them all. I'm going to print them out because they're really funny.
So they took your misfortune and made it into a teachable moment.
They did.
See, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah, what part about, you know, plastic and heat did you not...
You know, I get so focused on one thing. Like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna cook, I'm gonna steam these dumplings, and I just didn't think about the plastic melting. I don't know. I'm a very smart girl, I promise.
I once had a crock pot that I went to make soup in. You know, one of those, hey, set it and leave, you know? But I didn't put the earthenware thing in the metal thing. I just put all the soup makings in the...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so when I came back to the apartment, it smelled like burnt vegetables. And it was just stuff all over. It was awful.
Well, that's a delicacy in some places.
What's like that?
Burnt crock pot vegetables. That sounds pretty tasty. I loved my Tupperware-infused dumplings that I made.
I was going to say, you know, the plastic, there's no real value, you know, nutritionally for plastic, Mandy. I'm afraid to ask Andrew. So, Whitney, what anything new happened to you?
I don't know if it's new or exciting, but I'm getting a hold on my schedule, my structure, my working out, my yoga, my running and things like that. And it's important to me. So that's what was exciting in my boring week.
So you're getting structure for your yoga and your running.
Yes. And the rest of my schedule, I mean. Fitting it in.
Okay. You're right. It is boring.
Yeah.
But thanks for sharing.
I started to say, just don't even come this way this week.
No. I mean, are you nuts? You're in a lot of stuff this week. I'm still trying to recover from last week's Saturday Night Live with Kanye West. It was, I mean, I don't know. Tonight's going to be great, but I don't know how they're going to top Kanye. I would have given him a little bit more consideration if he hadn't shown up in the very beginning of the show to do his first number dressed as a Perrier bottle. I think I may have been more inclined to want to listen to him, you know, maybe hear him out, but... I don't know.
But did you see the video they did before Saturday Night Live?
No.
It was supposed to be sort of in the same vein of the video that was extremely stupid.
Oh, okay.
So that's what people are misunderstanding. You know, they're making a big thing of it, but really it was just a carry-on of the already idiotic idea that they did for
right.
the video.
But what if you hadn't already seen the idiotic video?
Then you're just you'll like, be commenting like
what
this.
The hell is going on? He's dressed like a Perrier bottle.
Yes.
And the other guy was, I don't know, was a ketchup bottle or what he was. He was Dr. Pepper, I don't know. Tonight, Awkwafina is the host from Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yes.
And next Saturday, it's Seth Meyers. So if you go by the celebrity meter scale, we had Adam Driver last week, Awkwafina tonight, Seth Meyers. The October 20th show will be hosted by either Pauly Shore or Steve Guttenberg at the rate this is going. Let's introduce the Robbio Radio Players, my co-writer formerly of Saturday Night Live, a screenwriter for both the small and large screens, author, veteran writer who takes no prisoners, Mr. Andrew Smith.
All right.
Musical theater actress with a bachelor's degree in Harry Potterology, Miss Mandy Lee Thompson.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Yeah, yeah. And still yet to get a handle on the science of cooking. Singer, composer, music producer, recording engineer, and radio underwear model, Mr. Steve Mecca. A New York theater actress, writer, producer, filmmaker, and a woman who can eat her weight in candy and not gain an ounce. Ms. Whitney Johnson. And the Renaissance lady herself, actor, singer, writer, and playing the title role in the award-winning animated short Dr. Mantis, insect analyst, Ms. Megan Samard. Speaking of Dr. Mantis, please welcome our special guest, the director of said award-winning animated short, Mr. Brandon Michalowski.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. This is a big time. We have an award-winning director. Our first award-winning director in the studio, except for Ron Howard. We have Ron Howard in here every once in a while.
Oh, thank you, Rob. It's really great to be here.
Thanks, Ron. So how are you, man? I haven't seen you since...
It's been a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Mantis, Insect Analyst, is a film short that features Dr. Mantis, and she has... insect patients, and Megan obviously is playing the title role of Dr. Mantis. I am the caterpillar who doesn't want to be a butterfly. I want to be a stand-up comic. And it was written by Mr. Andrew Smith and myself, and produced by Gary Grant and Joe Gugliotti, although Joe really didn't do anything. It was all Gary.
How did you get into the role?
How did I get into the role? It was a stretch for me to play an insect stand-up comedian. I mean, it was kind of typecasting. How did we find you? Like, how did we get hooked up with you? That's what I've always been curious about.
With me?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to say, interestingly enough, when we first started working on Dr. Mantis, and we've worked together for a couple of years before that, but I believe you played Dr. Mantis, and then we switched roles. Is that correct?
Yes. I think
yeah,
I started
original...
Dr. Mantis. Was it, I think, a German?
Yes.
And then and Megan was the caterpillar.
Yep.
And we did, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours worth of voiceovers, switching back and forth to different voices. And we finally had, you know what, you're really not making it as the star. So move aside, fat boy, and let somebody who knows how to do it. And it actually makes more sense to have a woman, I think, just because we're all about, you know, empowering women here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. But we're award winning. We've won, I don't know, how many, 4 or 5 awards on the film festival circuit.
About seven.
And next week, you know, not to pat ourselves in the back, we're going to be in the London International Short Film Festival.
International Short Film Festival.
Yeah, next Wednesday and Thursday, I believe, in London.
Is there, like, short people?
No. It's for short films, not short people.
Is it Monday, Tuesday?
I don't know.
Yes, next Monday, October 8th and 9th.
Oh, you know what? I was doing the time difference. That's why I said... Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday. I was kind of accommodating.
They're a couple of days ahead.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So thank you for correcting me, Brandon. I always love it when the host and star gets corrected by the guest. So you also won an Academy Award.
Yes, I worked on the O.J. Simpson documentary, O.J. Made in America.
Oh, my God, it was incredible. Sorry, I didn't know that.
See, now all of a sudden Whitney is impressed. You know, we've had all these stars.
She just put her hand on my thigh. This is pretty cool. This is a good show.
We had Tony Danza. We had Judy Gold. We had Michael Urie. None of them registered with her because you had something to do with the O.J. documentary. Now all of a sudden she goes, yeah, now I'm part of something big.
It was fantastic.
But Tony Danza's won like 7 Razzies, I think. So I'm not even going to try to compete
with
that.
Don't. Thoughts and prayers. So tell us about the O.J. deal.
We got called into a pitch meeting with the director and the producer, and had a lot of interest in the case for, you know, like 20-ish years, and I'd read a lot about it, and it's just something I really wanted to do. And my company at the time, The String Theory, is owned by a good friend of mine. We did, I think, like maybe 185 pieces of animation and design. Basically, I was the executive producer of the visual effects and animation for the entire 5-part series.
And do you actually have a statue? Did they give you?
No, they're actually really weird about statues in general. I think you only get one or two. And the rule is, if you're going to even give it to someone in your family, you have to offer to sell it back to the Academy for $1. And they can buy it or allow you to give it to somebody, basically just to keep it off eBay. Because I obviously looked a lot on eBay for the statues.
Well, you know, the Emmys, at least the local Emmys, you know, the regional Emmys, you just put down how many, if you win, you want. Yeah. You don't even have to justify them. And then as long as you have the $35, but the little, because they look like bowling trophies, the regional Emmys. They're really cheesy. But, you know, they're still an Emmy. It's
like the little, best daytime weather and, like, all the really weird Emmys that people
win. Let's not make fun of the regional Emmys, okay? I've won two. It's not an Academy Award, Mr. Big Shot Documentary. Why don't we exploit a double murder?
We prefer the term homicide.
Homicide, okay, homicide. I'm sorry. It is homicide. What was
alleged. Alleged. They did die. Yeah, the homicide was real. The involvement was alleged.
What was the book? If I Did It.
Yeah. So and If was like really tiny.
So you guys had like access to a lot of documents and stuff, right? I mean, for the...
Yeah, I went to visit OJ in prison a couple times.
No, did you really?
No. I didn't. He was approached to do the documentary. He did turn it down.
It wasn't enough money.
Probably, yeah.
So now, what was the weirdest thing that you, or the coolest thing that you discovered while you were doing all this research for the documentary?
Probably getting our hands on, like, original documents from the court system. You know, we actually had to recreate these documents by hand, try to match handwritings, try to actually get Nicole's journals, and then bring those to life in film so that they can actually be lit a certain way and just so you can bring them into a certain atmosphere. So getting your hands on those original documents when you already have a deep interest in something like that's pretty cool.
Wow. Wow.
And I bought his Heisman trophy, so that was kind of a win.
Did you?
No. I bought it in Vegas. My friends robbed the room that night with him.
You know, you can't say these things on the radio because people think that when you say something on the radio, it automatically means it's true.
Oh, so like, people believe the internet. Can you imagine radio? This is like the word of God over here.
And then, Ms. Johnson, I think you have a question.
I was just wondering if you discovered any new information.
So, I mean, I come from a really crazy detective background. My whole family, grandparents, everyone was NYPD. I'm a big sleuth myself. And so the lead theory, and this actually was not really approached in the documentary, but I've read a lot about this. It's one of the lead theories from the Sheriff's Department in Los Angeles County, is that the reason why you have DNA partial matches, it's that it's OJ's eldest son, who was not Nicole's son, that did the murders. And he actually was wearing, they have a picture of him wearing a skull cap, which is very similar to the one that was found near the murder. He had a golden retriever, matches the hair, the fiber that was found also at the murder. It explains why there's a partial DNA match, not a full DNA match to OJ. And one thing I didn't know before the documentary was that Ron Goldman's knuckles were like severely screwed up because he was like a crazy, he was like a martial artist, like 5th degree black belt or 4, whatever it is, 3rd degree. So they said whoever had partaken, Ron Goldman basically screwed someone up pretty bad during that fight. Like he absolutely mangled someone. And the next day they had OJ stripped down naked in the police barracks, like in that morning. And there was not a scratch on him. And they're like, there's no way this guy did this because Ron Goldman beat the hell out of someone that night. So.
Whoa.
And that's why the gloves didn't fit.
Exactly.
It was his son?
Yeah, and his son has never been questioned by the police department to this day. His son was whisked away to Florida the next day, and OJ hired a lawyer for his son before he hired Johnny Cochran for himself.
Wow.
And his son has never... And his son had 3 violent outbursts, all against women, all involving a knife. His son was on like schizophrenic medication and had been hospitalized several times. And you look at them, they look exactly the same. So even if there was like somebody at night that might see a figure,
let's
chilling.
Let's not do this. They look the same thing, okay?
Careful.
Yeah, be very careful about that. Now I want to get the conversation back to me.
Okay.
Because it is
I'm
the
so
Rob
sorry.
Radio
I'm
Comedy.
So
no, it's fine.
All of this will be edited out. It'll just be like, OJ. Yeah. There's nothing
it's,
else.
It's fascinating. Don't get me wrong. Shut up!
What was the motive? Yeah. Oh, so this is all another weird thing. So Nicole that night, I know, we're going to wrap it up. We can edit. It's
my
all good.
Fault. I was curious.
Nicole was supposed to eat the night. So OJ's eldest son actually was a waiter in a restaurant. And she was supposed to eat at that restaurant, knew that he was a waiter there with Ron Goldman, and she killed it. And she went to a different restaurant. He left that night without clocking out from the restaurant. The only time he never clocked out, he just manually, he just disappeared. Yeah, okay. A lot of crazy stuff. So to me, that's my theory.
Well,
not mine, but I mean, the one I subscribe to.
We'll be getting back to more of this fascinating stuff later on.
This is longer than a documentary. Jeez.
I know. And we're trying to move it along because, you know, it's so far, it's been not much about me. but we do have a great show for you tonight. And
oh, there's the doorbell.
I wonder who it could be.
Is it me, or does anybody else think it's a little strange that the radio studio has a doorbell?
Oh, look! It's Yoko Ono!
Hey, Yoko! How lovely to see you!
Wow, Yoko Ono, how cool is this?
So great to have you back.
Yes, I know, isn't it?
Are you here for any specific reason?
Actually, I'm on my way to the Museum of Modern Art to open my new performance art piece.
Oh, wow, another one? What is it?
It's called Insecticide. Each night I take a famous celebrity, put them in a room, strip them of their clothing, lie them down on a table, spread butter all over their body, douse them with sugar, then I lock them in the room and release a swarm of fire ants.
Sick. Who's your first celebrity?
James Franco. But the twist is he will be the only celebrity.
Do you have any other installations?
Of course she does, Steve. Yoko's a famous artist.
Don't you mean infamous?
I have a few pieces shown at various galleries around the world. In Tokyo, the Hara Museum of Contemporary Art has an exhibition of bas-reliefs I created of John, Paul, George, and Ringo at the various cuts of raw beef and pork. I call it Meet the Beatles. Get it? Meet? It's a play on words using the homonym forms of...
We get it.
A little respect for our guests, Whitney.
Sorry.
I have a collection of my paintings at the Flemish Cultural Center in Amsterdam. They're watercolors of the uvulas of all the American presidents who involved the United States in a war.
Uvulas?
Yes, that little punching bag at the back of your mouth. I call the collection Shoving Peace Down Your Throat. The Nixon is particularly disturbing.
I'm sure it is.
Do you have a haiku for us, Yoko?
Oh, I love these. I don't understand them, but I love them. These are the traditional Japanese poems of three lines. The first and last lines have five syllables, and the middle line has seven syllables.
No.
Oh.
Just kidding. Of course I do. This one is about how extreme violence, aggression, destruction, and mortality can negatively affect anthropomorphic animals.
And what's this one called?
The Octopus. See the octopus and cry as he goes to war. Good thing he's well armed.
Oh, didn't see that one coming.
That'll
down.
Be fine, Brandon. That'll be fine. Well, thanks for visiting us again, Yoko.
You know, you're welcome anytime.
Yes, I know. Will you sing with me my Requiem for the Fallen from The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Yoko Ono, everybody. Woo! Always a treat when she stops by.
Yeah, sure.
Don't forget, October 27th, I'm back at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. Go to sevenangelstheater.org. And remember, they spell theater in that really snooty British way with an R-E. We'll be back with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour after this. So stay with us right here on 77 WABC. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie.net than today. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and start winning. And if you use promo code Bartlett, B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, when you register for your account, you'll get a 100% sign-up bonus. Run. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. And if that's what you were looking for, you have arrived at your final destination. We are here for you. We're also, if you miss any part of tonight's program or would like to hear it again or would like to share it with somebody who wasn't able to listen to, you can catch a podcast of this very same program. The exact same thing that you're listening to right now, it's available on ogpodcastnetwork.com immediately after the show is over. And you can also subscribe there to us on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and wherever wherever podcasts are sold, which is, they're not sold, they're free. Like this is, the radio, free, which is why we're lucky enough to have with us our special guest, Mr. Brandon Michalowski. Academy Award-winning director, Mr. Brandon Michalowski, ladies and gentlemen. And we were able to get him to work for free because, I don't know, you had nothing else to do? Or
I don't know, the jelly beans were a nice touch.
We have a great backstage writer. We have a jar of, ancient jelly beans. I mean, just... it's like from a couple of years ago. And one of the flavors is Moxie. So I think,
at this point, they're all like cinnamon. It's just the ones no one else wanted. I had like 7 cinnamon jelly beans. Even, they were different colors. They were all cinnamon.
See, when I was a kid, they were called Red Hots. Red Hots with the cinnamon jelly beans. Which, if you put it in like a bottle of vodka or a bottle of bourbon and they dissolve, it's much better for you than the... Than that cinnamon stuff that they have. What's it called?
That's like a ghetto Goldschlager you just described.
Well, no. I mean, what is the stuff that's made out of antifreeze, which is the really spicy?
Fireball.
The fireball is antifreeze. So if you don't want to drink antifreeze, but you want that hot, spicy bourbon experience, just put a handful of Red Hots in the bourbon. And don't try this at home, kids. I'm just offering this as an example.
It's anyway, a cooking show now.
It is a cooking show. Why not? Hey, it's my show. If I don't want it to be a cooking show, it's going to be a cooking show. But it's not. We're going to talk about, exciting things like movies and film and film and movies, which are essentially the same thing, except like Dr. Mantis, Insect Analyst, which is the award-winning short film that Brandon directed and Andrew Smith and I wrote and Megan and myself star in. This is before we had you, Whitney. Otherwise, you would add a part, believe me. And Brandon came up with this idea to put the words, some of the dialogue as words up in the actual frame of the thing. And at first, I was like, "What the hell is this about?" And then I realized it gives like a children's storybook feel to it. It's really kind of cool. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're winning so many awards on the award. On the festival circuit.
Well, she's kind of always writing, so it just kind of felt, something on the
page. It did. See, you know what they call that? That's precision. That's craft. That's my motto, precision and craft.
I just one day stepped back. I said, she's always writing. Let's have her write some more. It was a big eye-opening moment for me during the film.
A big creative directorial decision.
Actually, probably the best one was when we actually had to go back to the original illustrator and get the new frames of you doing stand-up. Those weren't drawn. Remember that originally?
That's right.
And we made the little, the cocoon, I think, yes. The name of the club.
The cocoon was the name of the club.
That was really cute. That was fun.
It's really weird when we actually have something that's now available for public consumption. You've done it like 3 years ago, and you forget everything about it, and all of a sudden, we wrote that? We shot that? We're in this? It's one of those weird things. How long did it take for you to do the OJ movie?
2 years. Just about 2 years.
2 years. Yeah.
But still to this day, Dr. Mantis is the only thing that my mom actually liked. she watched, she said, now that's funny.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
See? That's good for you.
And just to show what kind of critic she is, I sent her a music video I directed last year, and she says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, did you do the commercial before the video or the video? I said, why? She goes, the commercial was fantastic. The video, I didn't care for it. But luckily, I didn't do the commercial. I did the music video I sent you. My name's in it. Yeah, I didn't care for that.
My mother didn't like anything I did.
That's what keeps us going.
I guess. It's that constant search for approval.
I run everything by her. She hates everything I've ever done. It's good. Except Dr. Mantis. That's how I knew.
You know, I wonder if, like, the really, really rich guys, the really successful guys, like Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook and Elon Musk and Richard Branson, you know, all these billionaires, whether they have the same kind of makeup, like if they have that in their personality, they're looking for the approval, they're looking for the acceptance, they're looking for their parents to really tell them that they're, nah, they want the money. They just want the money. It has nothing to do with that. But, and you know why I know that it's all about the money? Because Elon Musk had a couple of bad weeks, a couple of really bad weeks, and Richard Branson just jumped right on it. He used Elon Musk's misfortune as an opportunity to promote his own thing. He exploited one person's ill fate for his own financial gains. He's using it to launch his spaceflight company. Launch, excuse the pun. But we have them as one of our new sponsors, and we're delighted to have them here. So please welcome them. It's been said that space is the final frontier. Now that frontier is finally here. Richard Branson introduces commercial spaceflight.
Virgin Galactic Nonstop Service to Outer Space.
Let us bring you the life-changing experience once only reserved for astronauts.
Take a two-hour trip, 62 miles above the Earth, at three times the speed of sound.
All for just $250,000.
Mm-hmm. What? Seriously? $250,000? Jesus.
Fly into the cosmos with the world's first space line.
In style and comfort.
This is not all that comfortable. My knees are practically right up against my chest.
A portion of the aircraft is set aside with even more space seats, providing 3% more legroom.
Treat yourself to an even more space seat for just an additional $25,000.
Are you kidding me?
We're dedicated to making your flight as safe as possible.
Do not, under any circumstances, open the exit doors during the flight, as there is zero pressure in space and it will make you swell up like a balloon until you explode.
What the hell?
Indulge in our onboard gourmet food and drink service.
Well, I'm going to need a Bloody Mary or two if I'm going to be stuck with my knees on my chest for 2 hours and my body might blow up from zero pressure.
Craft brews, vintage wines, and top shelf spirits available on board for just $2,500.
Nope, that's just nope.
Spoil yourself in first class. Get double-wide seats with extra legroom, free food, and open bar for just a small additional fee of $250,000.
But if you join our frequent flyer program, you can earn points that may be used to upgrade on future flights.
Feel what it's like to be no longer bound by the shackles of Earth's gravity.
Avail yourself to our in-flight entertainment system. 5,000 channels of movies, music, and TV shows.
Let me guess. That's extra too?
Not in first class.
Fly the friendly stratosphere of Virgin Galactic.
On behalf of Commander Adams and the entire crew, we'd like to welcome you aboard Virgin Galactic Flight 1A, non-stop service to outer space.
Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. Despite our name, this isn't our first time.
Virgin Galactic, the sky is no longer the limit.
Apparently, neither is the price.
Well, I have to say, Brandon, I never knew you were such a great actor.
Oh.
That was, your passenger was, I really felt that.
Have you ever seen United 93 by Paul Greengrass?
No.
Okay, well, that's where I was.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the flight that they pulled down during 9/11. Probably a little deep for that.
I'm a snakes on the plane kind of a guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I almost went there.
You almost went there.
Yeah, but we're on WABC.
Yeah, well, that's why you would go there, because we are on WABC, which is...
Are we allowed to be blue on this? I didn't know.
No, you can't.
Okay.
You can't. No, you can't say words that the FCC won't allow you to say. I mean, you can intimate, you know, you can kind of like suggest things, but you can't come right out and say the words. Mm. But you're a classy guy.
I am, yeah. I try not to.
Despite the fact that you are a stand-up comic as well. I think that's why we bonded initially, was that we both had this background of
being mistreated.
Being mistreated, yeah. Stand-up comedians. I feel like the Dudley Moore and Peter Cook, Derek and Clive. You know, what's the worst job you ever had? You know, what was the worst gig you ever did?
Oh God! So this is, you just took me to a really dark place. We dimmed the lights. I'm going to cry. I had to stand on a table in the back of a Jekyll and Hyde's restaurant.
Ooh.
And I was like, I walked in, I'm like, where's the stage? And I'm like, you guys, you just get up on the table. I was like, you're going to change the cloths? There was like literally silverware. They're like brushing off the table. And they go, you stand up here. And there was a mic. I'll never forget this. They had like a headset mic. And it was like a God mic. And that's how you did the show. And I said to the guy, I said, not only does this show suck, I'm going to get like an earworm. They're like a kid was covered in sweat. He goes, you're up next. They just put it on top of your face. It was the worst.
I got you beat. I did a Sweet 16 party at a roller rink.
Hey! I would take that gig right now.
Wait a minute. I was in front of the buffet. And all the 16-year-olds were skating during my act behind me to get to the cocktail shrimp. That's the worst.
But at least you had eyes on you.
Well, I know. I mean, I've done the ground round one-nighter where they took a table and they turned it upside down in the little booth so that it made the little makeshift stage. Oh. I've done that. I've done when there's no microphone stand where they took an umbrella holder and put a pool cue in it and duct taped the microphone through it so it was like a butter churn by the time you were done with it. I've done those gigs.
People don't understand it about comedy. It is run by some of the shadiest people because all you need is a mic, a stool, and a light. And you've got a show.
That's it.
And we get paid in like soft drinks, like the soda pitchers. They would sit in the back in the green room for like 3 hours. Help yourself to soda.
You used to get like the incentive for the gig if you drove and you picked up people at Catch or the Improv. You usually pick them up at the Improv. Some people with the Jersey gigs, you pick them up at the Improv because you were right by the tunnel. And then if you drove, you got like an extra $10. And then when you got to the gig, if you weren't emceeing, you were allowed to go, you know, on the right side of the menu, anything in the sandwich box, and anything under $10 in the first two lines after that. It was, you know.
The HOV lane comedy. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's great.
Hey, everybody. Where you from? they were more miserable than we were. Just, I don't know. Maybe it's me.
What's the best gig you've had?
Best gig was, I don't know, I'd say the Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun. You know, really, really cool. Closed the Sands Hotel. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gary actually brings a good point. I closed the Sands Hotel on the very stage that the Rat Pack was on. I was the last act before they blew it up. Now, I don't know if there's any correlation between those two facts, or I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Uber's taking all the class out of this business. I remember one time I had a limousine. We had a show in Pennsylvania, and they put all of us, four or five of us, in a limousine back and forth. They just waited for us to do the gig, beautiful dinner, and take us back. Now they'd give you like an Uber code for a discount or something. 10% off.
Yeah, I did a bus. It was a double-decker bus from Baltimore to New Jersey. It was a Christmas party. They were shipping these people up, and I was supposed to be on the bus. They were supposed to pick me up hitchhiking, and it would be a big surprise. So I'm at a rest stop, and this bus comes in, and they go, yeah, why don't you come with us? And it was like a three-hour trip, and then it was traffic, and they expected me to entertain the entire time.
I would watch that movie right there.
I was going up and down between the two things. I was telling every dirty joke I knew. It was like, at that point in my career, I had like 20 minutes of material. So did I do the thing about Tom Carvel yet? it was worse. Anyway.
I have to put Kevin Hart in anything now.
You know what? Actually, I think maybe you should direct that movie.
Comedy Bus?
Comedy Bus.
I love it.
Kevin Hart is the driver.
He's in everything. It'd be great.
Brandon Michalowski, the Academy Award-winning director, Brandon Michalowski is our special guest. He's also the director of Dr. Mantis, Insect Analyst, the animated short that is making, burning up the independent film Festival tour. I'm burning up the stage at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut, October 27th. Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets to that event. We'll be back with more Brandon and some more yucks here on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. This week, we have the director of the award-winning animated short, Dr. Mantis Insect Analyst, Brandon Michalowski, with us. Last week, we started a new soap opera. It's set in a geriatric rest home. It's called The Last Days of Our Lives. And we want you to join us as we revisit the staff and the residents of the Golden Sunshine Terrace Manor Nursing Home. Like sands through an hourglass, and a candle wick burning down, like sudden cardiac arrest. So are the last days of our lives, the continuing stories of the hopes, fears, dreams, and delusions of the Golden Sunshine Terrace Manor Nursing Home. When we last left Dr. Spencer Malone and Nurse Daisy Hemingway, they had just finished making love in a supply closet next to the dead body of Lewis Talbot, one of Dr. Malone's patients.
Oh, wow. I haven't done anything like that since medical school.
Me neither. Except that time I got drunk at my uncle's wake.
What?
Did I say that out loud? Never mind.
You know, when you get to thinking about it, it was really kind of a three-way.
Why, Dr. Malone, don't tell me you're a necrophiliac.
Oh, I'm not. Episcopalian. All the way.
What are we going to do?
Meanwhile, in the office of Cooper and Abigail Bancroft, the owners of the Golden Sunshine Terrace Manor Nursing Home, Coop and Abby nervously await the arrival of State Inspector, who, Abby fears, will discover their secret.
Cooper, he'll know we cooked the books.
What were we supposed to do? We ran out of oatmeal.
No, I mean, he'll know we've been skimming, stealing money from the patients.
Damn it! The inspector's already here!
He wasn't supposed to arrive until 3.
Don't worry. I'll go down and start charming the pants off him.
I thought you told me that was only something you experimented with in college.
No, no. I mean, I'm going down there and take him on a tour of the facility. Hopefully I can distract him from what's really going on here.
How will you do that?
I'll get that slutty little nurse Beatrice to do him a favor.
Have sex with him?
No. Park his car. Ew.
Meanwhile, back in the supply closet.
Daisy, look at these stab wounds in Mr. Talbot's back. They appear as if they've been made by a blunt object.
That dim-witted orderly on the second floor?
No, another blunt object, like a tongue depressor.
In the day room, residents Hank Bigelow and his girlfriend, 97-year-old Grace Dubois, discuss her belief that she's pregnant, and Hank is the father.
Pregnant? Are you sure it's yours?
Well, you knocked me up.
What are you going to do?
I'm keeping the baby.
Where?
I'll figure something out.
I'm going to do right by you, Grace. I'm going to marry you.
Yes!
We'll raise this baby ourselves. Watch it grow up from a tiny newborn all the way until...
Until when?
Well, let's be realistic. Maybe it's first birthday. If we're lucky, 18 months tops. I can't believe it. 93 years old, and I'm going to be a father.
Good. You keep believing that.
Then, after concealing the dead body of Lewis Talbot in a laundry hamper, Dr. Malone makes his rounds accompanied by Nurse Daisy, when they discover another dead body in the pharmacy room.
Daisy, another dead body. It's Dr. Whittingham.
And look, on the floor, another tongue depressor. That makes 2 tongue depressors. Oh, my God! What if we're running low?
People are dying here, Daisy.
It's a nursing home, Doctor. People die here every day.
That's different. I think this may be the work of... the tongue depressor killer.
No, it wasn't a tongue depressor.
Nurse Beatrice? You startled me.
I was the one who caused Dr. Whittingham's death. But it was an accident. We were making love and his heart gave out.
Daisy, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
An actual, real three-way next to a dead body?
I can finally check that one off my bucket list. Nurse Beatrice, you game?
Let me just shut the door first.
Tune in next time when Cooper greets the state inspector.
Welcome, Mr. Davenport. We've been expecting you.
No time for small talk, Mr. Bancroft. I need to see your books.
Well, of course. I thought I'd just take you for a tour of the facility first.
If you don't mind, Cooper, I'll take Mr. Davenport.
Abigail, I wasn't expecting you. Mr. Davenport, my wife, Abigail Bancroft.
Why, Mr. Bancroft, you didn't tell me you had such an attractive wife.
Cooper, why don't you find Nurse Beatrice and check on that bedpan order?
Oh, of course. Mr. Davenport, Abigail will show you around.
If you play your cards right, Davenport, that's not all I'll show you.
You know what's disturbing to me is that these old people are having more sex than me. Actually, there are nuns who are getting more sex than me. Speaking of that, don't forget, I'm back on the road doing stand-up at Seven Angels Theater. Waterbury, Connecticut, October 27th, a Halloween show. I'll be in costume going as the planet Jupiter. Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets. Wait a minute, is that what I think it is? Is that the end of the program?
What?
Oh, man, I can't believe it.
No, say it ain't so.
Well, I want to thank our special guest, Brandon Michalowski.
Yeah.
Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett. Woo! Written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett. Featuring Megan Samard. Yeah! Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Whitney Johnson, and me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant, Steve Mecca, and... No, just Gary and Steve. I had nothing to do with that. Recording and engineering by Steve Mecca, directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program. We'll see you next week, everybody, for another episode of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC.